And greetings to the most fantastic, most smart, most brilliant, most educated audience in all of America. I think that's what Bob says, right, Al? I think so. Not quite sure for the exact introduction, but I'm going to have a little fun here. I can't stop ever, whether I'm in my car or in studio filling in for Bob Enyart, dancing to that song. And I'm wondering how many of our listeners that hear that introduction can't help if you're at a stoplight or just rolling down the road. You have to. It's a great groove. It's the Bob Enyart introduction. Bob, Bob, Enyart live. And I have fun listening to it. It's just the high point of my day. 3 o'clock, Bob Enyart live. You're not going to get truth like this broadcast on the radio anywhere else in America. There are very, very few places. So my name is Greg Jackson, and I have the pleasure and honor of filling in for Bob Enyart today. And just a day away from the first of 2011, New Year's. Very, very excited. Am I right on that? So at any rate, we're going to try to end this season in style. And if any of you caught our program last week when I filled in for Bob, I had the pleasure of speaking with John Haskins, who is a senior fellow for the Public Understanding of Law, Propaganda, and Cultural Revolution at the Inter-American Institute. And the website is theinteramerican.org. It's really a group of thought leaders that cover different aspects of politics and philosophy and religion. It's a great website. I would highly recommend checking it out, theinteramerican.org. John, you're on with us, correct?
Yes.
We had you on last week, and as I explained to my audience, I mean, you and I have known each other at least since 2006 when I was on the radio in Boston on WRKO, and I was covering Mitt Romney. It was the run-up to the presidential election, and I was drinking the Romney Kool-Aid and saying favorable things about him. I even sent one of the copies of my book, Conservative Comebacks to Liberal Lies, to his office and autographed it and thought, wow, this guy looks real presidential and whatnot, and I said all sorts of favorable things on the radio about him. And thought he'd make a great president. And lo and behold, a guy that I had on my show in Boston a lot introduced me to you, a gentleman by the name of Paul Dinger. And he guest hosted a number of programs and was friendly with you and told me that you actually had a different perspective. And I talked to you and you shared some stuff with me about how you had uncovered, John, with the help of a prominent lawyer in Boston, that Romney had really illegally, unconstitutionally, and unilaterally instituted sodomy-based marriage in Massachusetts and how all that came about and that there was no court order, that the court didn't force him to do anything, that it was actually Mitt Romney by himself who made that happen and ushered in sodomy-based marriage to the United States of America in the cradle of liberty, or what once was the cradle of liberty, your state, Massachusetts, is now really the test tube of totalitarianism in many regards. And that Romney also signed into law $50 abortions into his health care bill, his socialist health care bill that has totally decimated Massachusetts, and that everything that the media and many of his people and friends in the media like Ann Coulter and Sean Hannity and others that were covering up and really Hugh Hewitt that were lying for him to millions of Americans was false. And I'm glad that you woke me up to that truth, John. And as I explained to our audience last week, when I had you here on the program, it's amazing how God orchestrated, and I really believe it was just divine appointment and his orchestrating just this network of people around the country getting the truth out about Mitt Romney. And that was back in 2007, and we got it out to our friend Steve Dace, who's a talk radio show host in Iowa, the first in the nation caucus state. And many people credit the information that he provided with Romney not doing well in Iowa and losing the primary in Iowa. Having said that, I've come to understand over the past couple of years, I was a Republican Kool-Aid drinker. I thought that the answer to all of Americans' problems was just electing more Republicans. And if we just had more Republicans in control, and as long as they were conservative and had read my book, then all was going to be fine and dandy in Washington, the United States of America. And then that was earlier on in my Christian walk, and what I realized was that we don't have a political problem in this country. We have a spiritual problem in this country. And you were really the guy who was one of the first people in my life to wake me up to that important fact that there is no political solution in our country. There's only a spiritual solution. And last week, when you were here on the show, John, we talked a little bit about how you got involved as in really in the pro-family movement in Massachusetts. You were concerned about your family, about the direction of the country, the cultural decline, the moral decline in our country, and that you got into activism. You were the director of the Parents' Rights Coalition in Massachusetts. You were very active in trying to promote parents' rights, which have been trampled upon, by the way, thanks to Mitt Romney and others like Scott Brown, who all the conservatives have swooned over. Having said that, we also talked about really kind of what some of the reasons were that there has been this massive sellout in the pro-family and pro-life leadership. I mean, you talked a little bit about why guys like Jay Sekulow, basically endorsed Romney in 2008, and why guys like Dobson reneged on their promise never to vote for pro-abortion candidates, why he called Sarah Palin and John McCain the most pro-life ticket in a generation, when you and I both know that that's laughable. When guys like Limbaugh called Romney the best candidate in the race, when Ann Coulter, knowing, because we shared it with her personally, John, that Mitt Romney single-handedly instituted sodomy marriage and $50 abortions, that Ann Coulter said that Mitt Romney was manifestly our best candidate, and the line on and on and on. Laura Ingraham, Phyllis Schlafly, all these people were warned, and none of them exposed him. David Limbaugh. And so for the past few years, I and you and others, I think, have been wondering, why has all this taken place? And the reason that I wanted to have you on the show is because I think you're probably one of the best, if not the best, people in America that I've come across who's really kind of articulated it best as to why all of this is happening. So, John, what I want to focus on in the time that we have together, having given our listeners a little bit of background, is, you know, what really is the cause of all of this? How do you explain all of these pro-family and pro-life and conservative leaders and media pundits selling out to such a massive degree? Is this something that just happens on its own, or is this an organic process that begins somewhere else?
Well, first I want to urge those listening that didn't hear the interview we did for last week to go back into Bob Inert's archives. I think it's kgov.com.
KGOV.com, exactly,
and
right.
And listen, and if you heard it, you may want to listen again just to understand what we're about to say now, because we covered some things that may be really shocking to some people, but that are really important to understanding from a biblical perspective what's happening in this country. And we talked about the Reaganization of Christianity and the raising up of conservative idols.
And the code of silence that goes along with it,
mentioned. Yeah, by conservative idols, I mean not only personalities, religious personalities like Dobson and Sekulow, Jay Sekulow and Pat Robertson and many others, and Rick Warren and Joel Osteen, and so many that people have been building cults of personality, little kingdoms on earth for themselves, and often in God's name. And we've fallen for this. And I urge you people that either didn't hear last week's interview or heard it and need to understand again what we're talking about, to go back and listen. But I want to say that, and I want to say again something I said in that interview, that there are many men of God have been saying for 10 or 20 years that the blame for where America has gone and is going now, which I believe is into judgment, into God's judgment, will be laid fully at the feet of the church. And I want to read something from Ezekiel 16, where the prophet is speaking to the people who consider themselves the people of God, and he gives them a brutal, frontal insult. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Okay, she's your sister, Sodom. What is the iniquity? This is why God rained fire and brimstone on Sodom. Pride? Wow, what? He destroyed them because of pride? What kind of God is that? Well, God knows the content of our hearts. There's pride in my heart. He knows it. It's an abomination to him. It raises a stench to him daily. And if I want to come into his presence and worship him, and there's pride in my heart that's uncleaned, unconfessed, unrepented, this becomes unbearable to God as the years go by and I'm not being cleansed of pride. The next thing it says is fullness of bread, which is often translated overabundance or gluttony. Now, where it gets to in a second, this is going to make more sense. Why would God destroy a civilization, a city, a society, or a church? Because Ezekiel's talking to the forerunner of the church, Israel. Okay, why would he destroy a city or a church? Because of fullness of bread, overabundance. Well, didn't he give this to them? Yeah. Well, they forgot that he gave it to him. They forgot why he gave it. It's not only for themselves, and we're going to see that in a moment. God reached a point of anger where he saw there was no way out but destruction. And I don't believe he's going to destroy the remnant of his church, but he's going to discipline us. And it says, and the next thing is an abundance of idleness. This is the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, gluttony, abundance of idleness. What are we doing in our idle time? Well, we have the God of entertainment, what the great evangelist Leonard Ravenhill called one of the false gods of our time, the God of entertainment. Abundance of idleness, what are we supposed to be doing with the time God has given us? Reaching out to the lost, to the desperate, to those in prison, the widow, the orphan, the unfed, the homeless. Why? Because that's where we see the face of Jesus. If we don't see their faces, we don't see the face of Jesus. And then he finishes, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Okay? So God actually is telling Israel, you're just like Sodom, and here's why I destroyed her. Pride, gluttony, which includes every kind of gluttony, greed, materialism, overabundance that you're not sharing, okay, idleness, and she didn't strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy, and then it goes on, and she also committed abominations before me. Okay, we can translate those as homosexuality, of course, and killing of babies. There's one full package. We focus on the abominations because we are now, as a culture, and what we consider the church, we are in the state that Israel was in when Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah were speaking to Israel. And Jeremiah adds in a similar passage, calling the leaders of Israel, leaders of God's people, the rulers of Sodom. He says, and Sodom strengthened the hand of the wicked. So Ezekiel says, she didn't strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and Jeremiah adds, she strengthened the hand of the wicked. Well, that brings us full circle back to Mitt Romney and many, many Republican pretenders, where we've seen, and we saw Joel Osteen on a platform, as I mentioned in the previous half hour, Joel Osteen blessing a lesbian mayor of Houston, saying God had raised her up for this hour. We saw Rick Warren in a place where the gospel is supposedly preached on Sundays to the congregation, hosting Barack Obama and John McCain, two deeply ungodly men. And you can't whitewash where they are. Just because John McCain's a Republican, you can't whitewash the ungodliness, the willingness to kill babies, the way that he left his wife cruelly, the lying, the meanness of these people, the arrogance before God, and their hand is being strengthened from the pulpit by supposedly the shepherds of God's flock. Okay, we're in Sodom. This is the church of Sodom. So that's why we are willing to be misled by these people, by Mitt Romney and all those who speak for him and cover up for him, Jay Sekulow and Tom Minery at Focus on the Family, and Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council, and others who were silent, Donald Wildman of the American Family Association and Concerned Women for America, and David Barton and Phyllis Schlafly. It goes on and on and on, people that we all trusted and loved and admired, who were silent when the hand of the wicked was strengthened. So we have to get into our own hearts. You wanted to get into solutions. It's got to start with our own hearts. We've got to understand that when the Old Testament prophets were identifying the fullness of the sin of Sodom and declaring to Israel, Sodom was your sister, so take careful notes. It's not just homosexuality. It's a materialism, a love of the things of the world. It's pride. It's overabundance, lack of concern for the weak. And somewhere in the prophets, I forget which one, it says, I will hear you when you draw out your soul to the poor and the needy. When you draw out your soul. Wow, that's heavy. Draw out your soul? And it says, if you do not hear the cries of the poor, I will not hear your cries. So we have learned, even while we dance around pretending to accept the Bible as the Word of God, we have learned to dance around it cavalierly, missing the power of it, not being transformed by it, losing the fear of God. Well, all we have to do is say, hey, it's the Word of God. But we're immune. We're immunized by pride and materialism. And so God has been left with no choice but to humble us. And he's about to do that. What we're seeing right now in the economy is just the beginning. And people are going to be given a choice in different terms than the rich young ruler was given by Jesus when he said, sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And this is to a deeply religious man obeying the law of God in every jot and tittle. And Jesus said, okay, one thing you lack if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Well, we are a church of rich young rulers, to some extent, all of us. We have abundance that no civilization has ever had. We have idleness in our time that's never been seen on the face of the earth. And these things have taken us from God without us realizing that we are no longer worshiping the Jesus of the Bible. You see, as I wrote in something recently, Greg, that you read, we have been on crack cocaine, and we thought that nice buzz was Jesus. But that wasn't Jesus. And because God loves us with such a great love, and he has such anguish when we run astray, he's going to do an intervention. It's going to be tough love. But this is the pattern over and over in the Bible. He has such deep love for us, even when we take his name in vain, even when we continue to crucify his son with our white picket fence middle-class Christian lifestyle, a lifestyle of gluttony, greed over abundance, strengthening the hand of the wicked, silence when we should be watchmen on the wall, silence at evil, cowardice, even self-righteously remaining silent, saying, well, I'm going to be humble. I'm not going to speak up now. And we punish those who do. And you know, I think it's in the book of James where it says, the gold will rise up and say, where have you spent me? Pardon me if I've got the reference wrong. I think that's in the big book of James. The gold will rise up and say, where have you spent me? And you know, that's such a convicting message. It should be to all of us, because we've all been so selfish in what we've done with God's blessings. We thought they were ours. We thought we earned them. Well, I worked so hard. Well, do you not think a father in the Sudan, a Christian father, who's in a famine, who's watching his children starve to death, his baby try to get milk from his mother's breast, shrivel day by day, you think that father doesn't do everything he can? Do you think we won't be held accountable for the overabundance? The gold will rise up and say, where have you spent me? People, we need to fear God. we need to understand he's not interested in our worldly satisfactions. He wants to break our hearts so that he can remake us. We see it over and over in the Bible. How can we read the writings of David and not see God is breaking his heart? Why? Because we are fleshly creatures. We are fallen. There's an abundance of wickedness in us. There's deceit in our hearts. And we follow after liars. Liars from the pulpit. Liars in City Hall. Liars in the White House. Liars at the political parties. Liars at the pro-life organizations and the other pro-life, the other parachurch organizations. We send our money to ministries because they're big and famous personalities. People, the gold will rise up and say, where have you spent me? We need to fear God. And when I've been interviewed by Bob, I've urged, I detest the spirit of flattery, and so I'm not saying this to flatter Bob Enyard and his ministry, but people, don't just listen to that ministry. Don't just enjoy it as entertainment. Let your hearts be broken as God speaks through him. And support him. Bob, I'm going to share a confidence. Bob shared with me a year or two ago how so many people have volunteered their time to get involved, and then they drop out, wasting the training time that they've invested there. People, whether it's Bob's ministry or something else that's really doing the work of God, use your idle time in a way that stores up treasures in heaven. Use your money in a sacrificial way, lower your standard of living before God does. Commit yourselves, people, to following in the footsteps of Jesus. Do not take his name in vain. Do not lift up praises that will be rejected by God. Do not lift up prayers that he will not hear. He wants obedience. He wants sacrifice. He wants us to love his Son. He wants us to love our Father in heaven more than anything else, and say, God, take everything away that is impeding my obedience, my total adoration, my total surrender to you. Teach me to spend money in the fear of God. Teach me to spend my time in the fear of God. If I need to throw my TV out, and I think most Christians desperately need to throw their TV out, I think most Christians need to feel shame at supporting the entertainment beast with their money, cable TV and all that. There are a few people that might have a reason they need to stay in touch with the news, maybe. People, we need to fear God. And I know that for every godly ministry like Bob Enyart's, there are people just enjoying hearing the teaching, but they're not actually going out and doing what they're being told to do. It's become a form of religious entertainment. It's not good enough to be doctrinally sound. We've got to live lives of obedience, and bringing it back to where we started this interview and last week's interview, there's a generation, really two or more generations, of pastors and leaders in this country who are not godly people. They've got all the razzle-dazzle. There's all this showbiz. You look at so-called Christian music, it's people glorifying themselves often. It's commercial. The church is in the entertainment business. The parachurch is building personality cults. And we don't find it repugnant. I assure you that God does. And that's why people who will lift up a Mitt Romney or a George Bush and so many others, a John McCain, on and on and on, ungodly people, not just ungodly because they don't get the pro-life issue. Oh yeah, that's a clear indication of something. But because they're liars. And though they are obviously liars, we choose to believe as much as we can. But that's not the Holy Spirit within us that allows us to be deceived. So I want to bring it back to where we started, Greg, and say that when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, when we truly fear God, when we do not love the things of the world, when we are lightening the burden of the poor and the needy, okay, when we are not strengthening the hand of the wicked, we're not gluttons with our time and our money and our food and everything else, and we don't care about storing up treasures in this world, we don't care if we are martyred, if we are reduced to poverty for the sake of Christ, we don't care. We just want to serve God. When we're there, okay, that's when we can start seeing God's blessing again. And I don't mean just his material blessing, because at that point, that's not going to be what we're going to covet. It's going to be his spiritual blessing on our household and our children. That's going to be what we're going to covet. We're going to covet Jesus, and we're going to covet his being, I'm going to covet him as the Lord of our lives, of our thoughts, of our time and our money and our relationships.
One way or another.
One way or another, he's going to get done what he's going to do. And so, people, when we are led astray from the pulpit or from a radio pundit or from any other source, and we continue to be led astray, we're going to be held accountable to that. It means we're not hearing the Holy Spirit. We have no discernment.
Well, listen, John, wow, amazing stuff. Great way to end the year. And, you know, this interview, by the way, will be on KGov. And for those of you who just heard what John Haskins, who's a senior fellow of Public Understanding of Law, Propaganda, and Cultural Revolution at the Inter-American Institute, which you can get to by going to theinteramerican.org, has had to say, I really recommend and suggest that you share this with as many people as possible, because, John, I think you've just really hit on the crux of, you know, the major issue that we face in this country, and it provided a very, very insightful and cogent answer. It's not a political problem. We can't please God by compromising, and there's only a spiritual solution. And it really comes in repentance, looking in at our own hearts and asking the Lord to just to break us down individually and to manifest our own sin to us so that we could repent and get right with God, because time is running out. There is no doubt about it. John Haskins, thank you so much, my brother, for being here on Bob Enyart Live. Have a prosperous and healthy 2011. And for all of you listeners out there, God bless you all. KGov.com. Greg Jackson signing off in his service.
You can support the ministry of Bob Enyart Live by subscribing to Bob's monthly Bible studies, monthly videos, monthly sermons, or monthly classic TV shows at kgovstore.com. You can also support the show and make a monthly or one-time donation by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.